Hi, I'm David Miller.
Hi, I'm Mikkel Rasmussen.
Together, we both ride bikes. In fact, that's how we met each other. But on the surface, we thought that was our only common denominator.
But then we got to know each other better and found out that we have a lot more in common than cycling.
We also discovered in that process that we're not the only people like that.
And that's essentially what this Off-Bike podcast is all about.
Welcome to Off-Bike.
I'm 26, live in London, still riding bikes, faking it till I make it. Yeah. I can see the appeal and I love Tour de France and some classic individual races like Paris-Roubaix, but on the whole, I don't really think pro cycling makes any sense. Now, the first Criterium race we ever did on the pro level as a Tekkers team, you know, we got abuse. We really did. And it wasn't because we were doing anything bad. It was just because we weren't normal. Someone did ask me last year, what do you want to do? And I said, I want to make road bikes. Cool.
Hi, David.
Hello, Mikkel. It is April the 2nd, 2020, and we are deep into lockdown quarantine, especially here in Spain. I mean, this is what's quite interesting, finding out what's going on in different countries, because there is an absolute deluge of news and it's quite hard to pinpoint what's real and what's not, especially in the way things just transfer so quickly. But here in Spain right now, it's full on. We're lucky in the sense that we live in the country, so it's not as obvious. Whenever we look out our window, it's quiet. But I'm seeing pictures and hearing from Girona, which is only 17 kilometers away, and it's like the zombie apocalypse. There's no one in the streets. You're only allowed out if you've got permission, and it's absolute necessity being supermarket, pharmacy, hospital, taking your dog out. Yeah, it's pretty full on, but it does seem like I pop out every few days to go to the supermarket, and it's...
That becomes like an adventure, doesn't it?
Oh, completely. And especially when you go out now, the screens up everywhere, they only allow a certain amount of people into the supermarkets, there's queues outside pharmacies, the petrol station you can only do from the outside, and everyone keeps a minimum of 2 meters distance. There's now markings on the floor in the supermarket. It's a brave new world. Yet everybody seems to have adapted and conditioned to it really quickly.
I read somewhere that if you ride a bike in Spain, you can get a bill or even get arrested. Is that true?
Oh, 100%. Yeah. You're not allowed to do recreational sport whatsoever. Even professionals aren't allowed. So there is no leeway. And it's up to €6,000 and being locked up. I think it actually probably goes up much higher than that. Going for a run, even a run or a bike ride. If you're out there on a bike ride, you will be stopped by the police and fined massively and probably taken away or told to go home. There's nothing here. It's complete lockdown.
So, listener, you can of course go on Swift and all of that, but you can also listen to Off Bike, which is a really good alternative to going on the bike. Wouldn't you say so, David?
Listen to it on Zwift. There you go.
Off Zwift.
While away another hour. Off Zwift. Yeah.
Perfect.
Who are we listening to today?
We are talking, to Alec Bricks, who's a South Londoner, a 25-year-old dude, I would call him. I think is changing what cycling is, at least for me. It's very new what he's doing. And you know him well, don't you?
Yeah, I do know him well. But one of those sort of purely by serendipity, in the sense that I'd seen him because I'd noticed him on social media. He's doing some really cool stuff, in the sense that he is, as you said, he's so much on point. He's got this club called Tekkers. I didn't even know what Tekkers meant. Basically, everything about me getting to know Alec has made me feel much older, because I realize that I am so off the back when it comes to what's going on the kind of the street scene. And that's what he's bringing to road cycling in particular, this kind of street vibe. He's created this cool club that has social responsibility, that's trying to be a bit more urban, a bit more accessible, and have the ability to cross over to off-bike apparel and vibe. And yeah, so I met him, I was with my wife doing Otterroute in Norway, and we ended up riding together for the 170 kilometers and chatting, and that's where we got to know each other. And he even ended up DJing at my sister's 40th birthday party, and we always stay in touch. And I've got so much time for Alec, because he's not got that kind of street vibe where it's, I'd say, almost confrontational, too cool for school. It's very inclusive. He really wants people to get on bikes. He endorses helping kids. He runs events that are really inclusive and open. And yeah, it's a total, I'd say, niche area to cycling, and yet it's an area that's so important that we need to put a lot more time and investment to. And a lot of that investment is time, and Alex is one of the only people that's doing that. And my hat goes off to him, and that's one of the reasons that I decided not to take part in this interview for the majority, because he was a complete unknown to you. So you were going in with a fresh outlook, ready to kind of see it and ask the questions that perhaps I wouldn't have asked.
That was a interesting experience, because usually when I interview people, I've done lots of research on who they are. And I didn't know who he was, to be honest. So I also had to ask somehow intelligent questions, which didn't go so well. And at the same time, sort of try to figure out where in the universe is this guy. And I think I managed in the end to sort of put him there. But there were so many new things to me. So let's go and meet him. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Can you give the listeners a little idea of who you are and what you do?
Sure. Me and Mikhail are meeting for the first time today. Just met through David Miller, who I met a couple of years ago through something with Brompton. We ended up on a Norwegian cycling trip together. Since then, we've become friends. We've got to learn a bit about each other. Recently, me and David have been speaking a lot about something I run, which is a cycling team / brand called Techers. Techers is a slang word for technique. Essentially, the team and brand, cycling team and brand I run, preaches technique and skill and finesse, and I'm trying to spread that in many different unconventional ways as possible. And I'm 26, live in London, still riding bikes, faking it till I make it. Yeah, that's that.
But the type of cycling you do is not the classic sort of road cycling, right? Can you explain a little bit of what it is?
Road cycling is never really appealed to me. The idea of riding a bike for 6 hours up a massive mountain doesn't sit well with me. But something I have always loved doing is criteriums. Now, criteriums are 1 hour long races, very intense, very energetic atmospheres, often around city centres. Like, they have them in London, New York, and all over the world. They're just high energy, really technical short circuits, which crowds can gather to watch on the side of the street, watch hundreds of riders in bunches, men and women, race around at full throttle, and getting good entertainment value. And that's what I absolutely adore in cycling. I love criteriums. So my Techers team, although road cycling and criterium teams are often the same thing, we only do criteriums. We don't do road racing. I just personally don't love road racing. I think the concept's quite cool, and I can see the appeal, and I love Tour de France and some classic individual races like Paris-Roubaix, but on the whole, I don't really think road cycling makes any sense.
No, I completely get that. And can you talk a little bit about criteriums? How are they different also in terms of the culture and the style and the types of people that do it?
There's something new that's come about in the last 10 to 12 years, and it's something called fixed gear criteriums. Now, they're the bikes that ride around the velodrome, the kind of oval circuits which have no brakes, no gears, and it's just one fixed gear. Now, some crazy guys got an idea to take those bikes and race them on a criterium circuit, so a very tight, short 1 kilometer circuit around city centers. There's a guy called David Trimble who started this, or definitely made it very popular, and he started it by making it his birthday party, and it grew year on year on year. To the point where it was a world stage sporting event, which went around the world, started in Brooklyn, went to London, Barcelona, Milan, all sorts of places. And the culture that came with that and the culture it attracted was fixed gear riders and messengers, and which some people, you know, have many different ideas about what they are. We all have an idea what a fixed gear messenger is, often hipster and whatnot. There was a lot of that in fixed gear criteriums and red hook races and the races that I do like to do. And the contrast between the people that would turn up to these races, you know, ripped jeans, long hair, tattoos, beards, smoking God knows what, to the very polished, clean, conventional road cyclists, you know, a very elite sport. And then you've got criterium riders on the other side, tattooed up, don't give a crap. And they're just there for the love of it.
But they're still pretty fit, I guess.
Oh, they're extremely fit. And what is amazing, that over the years, with Red Hook Crit, the fixed gear criteriums getting more and more popular, they attracted more and more riders, including World Tour Tour de France riders. So they would come and race these races with these fixed gear hipster riders. And then there'd be people like me who sat somewhere in between. And we'd all have this massive battle royale, and it would be the best rider wins. And there was something absolutely mesmerizing about watching different cultures come together and all enjoy the same sport. And everyone kind of ended up on a level playing field because of it. Have you ever seen the movie The Warriors?
Yes.
It's sort of like that. Everyone have their own crew. Mm-hmm. You know, you came from a different part of the world and you brought your own culture, your own style, your own morals with it. And then you would battle out on the circuit. But at the end of the day, after the racing, no matter who won, you had just the best party ever at every race. And that's just something I've never seen before in sport ever.
So you'd have a beer afterwards, for example? Or?
You don't have a beer. You have about 17 and you go absolutely crazy at an after party. That was half the reason people went to these races, was because the after parties were so good. People just loved it. It was just, it was a full package. You went there, you saw everyone, you got serious, you raced your race. There was an extreme amount of spectators. People loved it. Energy was high. You had a great time. And after that, no matter what happened, you had a party to either celebrate or drown your sorrows. You just left feeling happy.
It reminds me very much of what has been happening in running cultures, where there's also sort of a conservative running club culture and, you know, timing everything. And then there's a much more sort of inclusive sort of hipster running scene where people get drunk afterwards. And,
yeah.
And if you're not very fit, you're also welcome. But they are, don't mistake them, they're really fast.
Yes. Have you heard of the Midnight Half?
No.
So the Midnight Half is something very similar to this, where they do half a marathon at night, which starts at 12 a.m. And they did one in Hackney, also do it in New York, started in New York. It's point to point. So you've got to get to a location and pick up like a suite or something, and then go to all five locations and bring them back. And, you know, fastest person back wins. But again, you come back, you have a party afterwards. And the best bit about it is that the one they did in London, the guy who owns Red Hook Criterium, the fixed gear races, he managed this running race. So the worlds really are, yeah, matching up, and people are getting more and more inclusive of how they view sport on the whole. And I think that's amazing.
All right. And are there anyone turning up to these things that are not super fit or not super fast? Or everybody like full gas?
There's people that turn up just to try and achieve whatever they want to achieve. And, you know, that can, for some riders, that might not be much at all. But for some people, it's just getting on the start line is enough. And yeah, there's a huge range of abilities, especially in the Red Hook Criterium. 300 riders would enter. Only 80 of them could be in the final. And they'd have qualifying heats beforehand to determine who went into that final. And riders would do everything they could just to try and make the final. And if it wasn't, they didn't do it, you know, that was it. That was their day over. But they weren't sad about it, you know, they just loved the experience. And it was amazing to be sitting in that environment and seeing your average Joe to your completely non-average Joe there trying to do it. And I think that's something beautiful. Grassroots to elite, everyone welcome.
Do you see other sort of things happening in grassroots cycling at the moment? So one of all these crits where you have 17 beers afterwards, but anything else that's sort of revolting a little bit against the establishment?
I do think it's all trickled down quite well. I'm involved with a lot of grassroots stuff myself. I offer training sessions to kids and trying to help them become better athletes and humans on the whole. From me coming and enjoying that alternative world to cycling so much, I think naturally the events we put on and the training session we run are a little bit different to what's normally going on. And I'm sure I'm not the only person doing that. It's interesting because with the internet and social media and all this stuff, everything's so much more accessible. You can see what everyone else is doing, and people get ideas a lot easier now. And I think they're less afraid to push the boundaries and try new things. And I think you can see that with the rate in which younger riders are developing. They're becoming amazing, skillful, intelligent athletes. And humans on the whole, so much younger than what we were, you know, like a generation ago, because they've got phones telling them how to do things so easy. You know, people argue that you give a kid a phone and it kind of numbs their brain. I think there's kind of two sides to that. I think on one side, there's the kid who does just sit and play games and, you know, isn't educated in the right ways of how to use it properly. But on the other side, I've heard stories of like 8-year-old kids learning how to drive cars because they've just watched a YouTube tutorial. And, you know, and they've done it, and they've done it well. They've taken the car out and they've driven it back and it's fine. And it's just like, that's crazy. But you apply that same thing to sport. You know, there's kids doing backflips and incredible stunts that would take, years of confidence and skill to build up to. But now that it's broken down so easy and it's so accessible in front of them, they're just doing it like that. Yeah. It's amazing. And that's, I think all of that is playing a part with how sport is shaping today. There's going to be some bad times and some good times, but I think on the whole, it's really going to come good, yeah.
And you are also shaping the sport, because I just learned 20 minutes ago, you're actually creating a team for Criteriums, which is a sort of a grassroots team that also... Can you talk a little bit about that?
The team, the Tekkers brand team, it started with a cycling team. I started this team because I wanted to challenge the norms of cycling. Cycling is very, in honesty, it's a rich white man sport. What I would like to do is try and open up and change some perspectives on what cycling is. And it needs to just not be so traditional and snobby in some cases. And I want to invite riders to think differently, be more of themselves, just express themselves in different ways. And that's one of the reasons I started the team. We're essentially a bunch of riders. Some are young, some are older, some are on to going to Olympics next year, some are starting out as 16-year-olds just trying to see if they have what it takes to get a pro contract. And they're the guys racing in the team, racing Criteriums against all these professional road teams who do have, you know, professional riders and are doing the traditional cycling route. And it's amazing to be racing races with these guys and sometimes beating them, sometimes losing to them, and just making people stop and go, hang on a minute, this Tekkers lot, who are they, what are they doing? They're not racing road races every weekend, but they're still doing well in these Criteriums. You know, there's different ways to skin a cat, and I've loved putting that on show. And I think as the years have gone on, we're in our third year now, there's a lot more respect for it. You know, the first Criterium race we ever did on the pro level as a Tekkers team, you know, we got abuse. We really did. And it wasn't because we were doing anything bad. It was just because we weren't normal.
In what way?
In the way that... Like when you're a kid in school and you have the mick taken out of you because, you know, you've got...
Green socks.
Something a little bit different, yeah. You've got green socks and everyone else is wearing black socks, and it's right. Just like, that was it. Yeah, it's just, yeah, mocked and teased. And people are taking the mick out of our name and just whatever, you know, and it's like comments. But you let your riding do the talking. And I love that. I find it really funny. And by the third day of the race series, we had complete respect. And, you know, from a lot of really high profile athletes. And it was amazing just to watch within the space of 3 days, perceptions change and ideas change. Yeah, that really did a lot for me. And I've just been wanting to do that year on year now.
It's a big battle you're fighting, I think, because I'm not a pro racer, never been. But I've noticed it's probably the sport I know with most unwritten rules. Down to, don't put your glasses, inside the helmet, and you know, all kinds of shit. And are you also sort of saying, we're not following those rules, we're creating our own?
So I think to make change, you have to honour the old and the traditions. But you have to decide for yourself which traditions live on and which traditions die. So which traditions are holding the sport back and which need to remain to keep the sport genuine and true to itself. So little things like putting your glasses over the straps of your helmet, I'm always going to do that.
Yeah.
Because I think it looks cooler. You know, there's some things, yeah. You know, that's it. That's just all it is. There's nothing else for it. And it's, some people would say, your socks are only allowed to go to a certain height. And there's been massive debate and dilemma over socks because people have been wearing these socks up higher, like the length of football socks, because it's more aerodynamic. And we as a team go, nope, that's not allowed. It doesn't look cool. You shouldn't be sacrificing that much style for speed. So we keep our socks at below calf length. Yeah, it's funny that you say that because there are some things that traditions that we will honour and we will give respect to, but some we desperately want to change. Like, we don't think road cycling and Criteriums cycling races should be put so heavily in the same bracket. We think they should kind of identify as separate sports and teams should be allowed to operate in as just a road team or just a Criterium team. A lot of teams do operate as just a road team, but I guess because Criteriums are not on the same pedigree as like the Tour de France and the road races that are out there
yet,
exactly, you know, people overlook that. But I do want to take Criteriums to that level and part of me thinks that cycling isn't necessarily a sustainable model in terms of people come out to the side of the road and watch it for free and it goes past once and that's it. And no one pays anything. Cycling is struggling to keep these races going. And one thing I'd like to do, and what you can do with criteriums, is you can ticket an entry because it's in a small space, confined space. We can get it to the point where you can sit in one position on the grandstand inside a velodrome and watch a kilometer track in front of you inside the velodrome, using parts of the velodrome to make a 1 kilometer circuit, which you sit on the grandstand with a beer in hand watching, and you watch the entire race, don't miss a bit, and everyone pays maybe a couple quid to enter, just like the old days, and you enjoy yourself. Just like football, you know?
I really want you to come to Copenhagen and do this.
Yeah. Oh, man, I'd love to.
With your team.
Yeah, of course.
Could you do that?
A team, that would be amazing. All right. But, yeah, that's...
You said several times something really interesting, which is you are taking new kids in, new talent, and giving them good advice and on cycling, but then you also said on being human. What do you mean by that?
So when I was younger, when I was 16, all I cared about in the world was trying to be a professional cyclist. It was all I thought about. It consumed my whole entire brain. And then you get to 16 and 17, you start wondering about girls and all this other stuff and whatever you're into, and your friends and going out and what you want to do. And you very quickly come to terms with how likely it's going to be that you're going to make it as a professional cyclist or not. I thought I was going to do it. I really did. But then a few things happened, kept getting ill all the time, like unwell, so I couldn't, you know, perform my best at the best races. It got to the point where I wasn't offered what I needed to at the time to become a professional cyclist. So I had to go to university, and I went and figured it all out. I took some time out of cycling, started DJing, got some perspective on life a little bit. And just yesterday, I was speaking to the youngest rider on my Tekkers team about chilling out and chilling out the mind as much as you chill out your legs. And he says that he spends all day thinking about cycling, almost feels guilty if he doesn't, because he feels like if he's not thinking about cycling, then he might not want it as much as he knows he wants it. And it's telling riders that they're allowed to turn their mind off, they're allowed to stop thinking about what they want, and they're allowed to love other things and have genuine interest in other things. And those things are not going to take away from their desire or their ability to achieve their goals in cycling or any one thing, but if anything, actually maybe assist on their path to do that. Throughout the Tekkers team, and we run talks and like panel discussions, and we write blogs for younger riders to read, and we talk about the importance of studying, friends, school, social life, and how to balance those and make the right decisions to have both, to have, give all the amount of time needed to focus on a good cycling career and do everything they can to give themselves the opportunity to make it, but whilst also giving themselves opportunities to have friends, have other routes out, have other avenues of work and careers if cycling for whatever reason doesn't pay off for them. I think giving someone that peace of mind and teaching them how to do that creates better athletes, like humans on the whole, as well as athletes.
Yeah, but it sounds a little bit to me that you're using your own experience and also some bad experiences, some pain you had, to do something good again.
Totally. You know, there's many things that I regret and I wish I'd done differently when I was trying to be a professional cyclist when I was 16 and all the way up to 21. But I learned massively from those mistakes, and everything that's happened since and the races I've done and the experiences I've had would not have happened if I hadn't at that time failed my goal of trying to make it a professional cyclist. And it got to the point where I actually, in my own bizarre weird way, have been able to make a living out of cycling now. And some people argue that I'm a professional cyclist. I argue that I'm maybe not, because I've got other things going on. But I feel like I'm in an extremely privileged position to be enjoying a very lovely, well-rounded life, achieving goals I want to achieve, and I'm also getting to help a load of people try and do the same. And if I can help a kid achieve goals and get there easier or quicker, then if I help just one kid, but really I'm trying to help like as many as I can, then I'm stoked. That's good with me.
What are you hoping to happen in 2020? What will that year look like for you?
2020 is a big year. The last 2 years is what is Tech has only existed for 2 years, and in the way that we're trying to make it into a brand, we have to do many other things other than just riding races. We have to make videos, build content, which people want to...
You're becoming a media company in a way.
Yeah, essentially. Yeah. We are. Like, you know,
it's like me.
So, you know, I have extreme love for music. So we're putting out music podcasts. We're putting out almost TV shows, which are kind of borrowed from skateboard culture, aimed to entertain cyclists and the public beyond cycling.
Yeah.
And we've created a few bits this year, done a lot of pilots. And now we've got the proof in the pudding. We can go to these... you know, people that invest in the company and invest in techers on the whole and go, look, we're doing this. It is possible. Here's an example. And everyone's gone, yeah, wow, you've done it. And now next year it's about putting that into practice, putting out to the general public and just watching it grow. And on the side of that is the racing. Like, I've decided, I've never won a national title. And it's something I've always wanted to do.
Is there an expiration date on Criterion?
I don't know. Ask David that one, I guess.
David's just come. David, are you doing a Criterion soon?
To be honest with you, Criteriums are probably something that I definitely could not do now. It's saying an expiration date, 43. I've got no explosivity anymore. That was the thing I noticed at the end of my career. I was like, I used to just be able to rage, no problem for an hour. And yet now... I kind of just don't have that top end. I think I'd be in a crit. Just technically, I could probably last a few laps because I got the technical ability, but then it would be game over. At the moment I couldn't hide behind my technical skill and relied on physicality, I'd be dead. So yeah, so there is an expiration date.
Well, there you go.
But listen, we're arranging one in Copenhagen, so maybe I'll
do the first three laps.
Okay, then I'll do half.
Excellent deal. Well, there you go. Because my goal next year is become national Criterium champion as an individual. And sounds like I've got till I'm 43 to try and do it.
Something we'll put in the show notes for this episode are some links to one of the things that Alec hasn't mentioned because he's quite humble is his phenomenal bike handling skills. And we'll put a couple of links to a couple of Instagram posts, which are just mad. There's the the one with your late breaking endo in Mallorca, which is just sick. And then just a little one which makes it look so easy, but on the go-kart track, just going around the corners, putting your hand down. And these are things that are kind of, that's kind of part of the techers kind of attitude, isn't it? Just showing skills on a road bike, which kind of it's just stuff that you wouldn't normally see on a road bike. Road bike is kind of normally just quite pedestrian and conservative and a bit boring. And yet, the kind of with Alec and techers, they make it actually look fun and aspirational.
Someone did ask me last year, they went, what do you want to do? And I said, I want to make road bikes. Cool. I was like, I want to make a mountain biker who traditionally does extreme crazy stunts, drifts, and rides with intense flair and panache. And I want a mountain biker to watch a road cycling video and go, that's pretty cool. I respect that. And that's what I want to do.
Well, Alec, thanks so much for joining us. It was amazing to hear your story.
Thanks for having me.
And good luck with the... your brand, your cycling team, your DJ career, your grassroots activities, and your revolution that you're doing in cycling, making cycling fun again.
Thanks a lot, Mikael. Appreciate it, man.
And that was Alec Briggs. So, Mikael, you said you went into that and you literally had no idea who he was. And you need to contextualize him within the universe. What were your conclusions?
For me, this was a completely different version of what cycling is that opened up, which is based on urban racing or criteriums, which is a social responsible. He's doing a lot of good stuff with the younger kids, using sports to give them a bit of, you know, view on life. I loved the way they are not too serious. And so he talks about how they would go for a race and it is super competitive, but afterwards everyone would have a beer and there'll be DJs and music and so on. It reminds me a little bit what's happened in urban running in a way, where you see the same sort of phenomena with revolting against establishment and, you know, cycling clubs, running clubs and so on, and doing it in a much more urban, modern, youthful way. I'd love to go and see one of those races, actually.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I haven't actually... I took part in one of his little flash events at Herne Hill Velodrome last year. I did terribly, incidentally. But yeah, I'd love to. We'd mentioned about going to Berlin or going to one of these other ones, which I think we must do at some point.
How fast is a criterium in your sort of mind?
Oh, it's a very specialized area. It's explosive. It's closer to kind of track cycling in the sense that they're short events. This is a funny thing with cycling. So many different styles. It's quite a simple thing. You just pedal a bike and surely one cyclist can compete against another. But I'd put urban crit racing, kind of almost close to cyclocross. In a sense, they're quite short. They're under an hour. They're sprint recover. They're hugely technical regards your ability on a bike to handle it. And a lot of the things he's doing, the fixed gear crits, forget about it. I wouldn't get through the first corner because it's so technical. So yeah, it's a fascinating thing. And I think, I mean, Alec did just probably 2 months ago now, won the Berlin urban racing setup that was going on there. So we'll put some of these links into the bio of that race that he took part in, and also two techers and some other, and obviously link his social, because there's some pretty cool stuff on there, and it does force you to kind of go, oh yeah, you know what, there is a side to road cycling that is I did not know existed, and that's techers, and that's Alec, and hats off to him.